Hi, my name is John Moe. I'm the host of Wits. It's a show that I'm going to pretend starts now, even though it really doesn't. This is the part of our show called The Billboard. It's a brief message about what we'll be doing. I'm going to talk for a few moments, and then you're going to hear a newscast. I hope nothing too upsetting. But after that, oh boy, do we have a show for you. Wits is comedy, conversation, music, surprises, a tremendously good time. It all happens at the Fitzgerald Theater in St. Paul in front of a live audience. On today's show, we welcome actor, comedian, Saturday Night Live veteran, and yes, the ladies' man, Tim Meadows.
And that's when I pulled the grizzly bear off of Lauren Michaels. He was so impressed he cast me on the show.
We also welcome singer, songwriter, Rhett Miller. And John Munson and the Witnesses. It's all on Wits from American Public Media after the news. From the Fitzgerald Theater in downtown St. Paul, this is Wits. I'm John Moe. April is about to begin. Granted, T.S. Eliot said April was the cruelest month, but you have to remember that in England in 1920, cruel was British slang for awesome. Get the pudding in the lorry, governor. Oi, mate, that was the cruelest pudding what I've ever known. So Eliot was really saying that April was the awesomest month. And that's because T.S. Eliot was a baseball fan. The St. Louis Browns were his favorite team. He was born in St. Louis. True. In fact, all the important writers in England at the time were fans of American baseball. James Joyce rooted for the Dodgers and composed dense epic poems about them and showed them to the players who nodded and pretended to read them just to be nice. It was a different time. Ezra Pound not only followed the Tigers, he spent part of the 1922 season as a middle reliever for them, as was the fashion of the day. He went by the name Wheelbarrow Fingerson back then. C.S. Lewis, whose name is an anagram of T.S. Eliot, wrote the epic poem... He wrote the epic poem, We Want a Pitcher, Not a Belly Itcher, which continues to be used by baseball fans today. A lot of people think that he also wrote, We Want a Batter, Not a Broken Ladder, but that was a young Ernest Hemingway. At the start of the baseball season, all teams are in first place and last place, although every baseball fan prefers to take the more optimistic view. And that baseball thinking carries over. Spring is the time of year when we think ourselves to be immortal. We think maybe winter will never come. Perhaps death won't reach us. We heed the advice of our Blue Oyster cult leaders. We don't fear the Reaper. Maybe the Reaper will forget. It's a wonderfully stupid time to be alive. But as baseball season goes along day by day, game by game, there are losses, and our teams slowly wither and perish bit by bit. And by fall, we are dying, and then the season ends. And then, here in Minnesota, God ice murders us. We've got an amazing show ahead. Actor, comedian, veteran of Saturday Night Live, and 1 billion TV shows and movies, Tim Meadows is here with us. How did you land on SNL originally?
I was a performer at the Second City Theater in Chicago, and yeah. I was actually performing at Second City, and Saturday Night Live came and watched us perform. And it just so happened that I was hot that night.
Yeah.
To put it, you know, frankly. Thank you. And so they ended up getting hired from that.
Yeah. Prior to The Ladies' Man, and we'll be talking a little bit more about The Ladies' Man in a moment.
Okay.
But prior to that character, you weren't really known for a particular character on that show. How much pressure was there on that show to develop, you know, a Wayne's World, a church lady, a signature character?
I think there's a lot of pressure, but it's sort of pressure you sort of put it on yourself, you know, I just kept trying, you know, I was like, well, if this doesn't work, then I'm going to do this. If I think this is funny and nobody, you know, the nation, you know, doesn't, you know, come along for the ride, I still think it's funny, you know? So
was there anything that you did that you thought was incredibly funny that just bombed or just didn't get anywhere?
The things that I thought were funny usually did well, thank God. But there were things that I thought would bomb that did bomb. That like halfway through it, you go, oh my God, I'm on national television. There's no stopping this Titanic.
Do you have an example?
I did a sketch called 20 Questions with Brian Gumbel. The joke behind the sketch was that Brian Gumbel would interview people, but his second question always was why. So he would say, you know, you fought in Afghanistan and you came back and you were injured. Why? And, you know, and so I said, okay, I'm going to do this sketch. It's called 20 Questions. So with Brian Gumbel. So question number one was the actual question. Question number two was why. Question number three was why. Question number four, the audience in the studio said why. Really, the audience guessed the joke of the sketch before I could get to
with
it.
With 16 questions
I had
still
16
to go.
Questions to go. And I was, during Between Dress and Air, I stopped Lorne Michaels and I was like, please don't make me do this. Please, I will do anything.
Well, where did Leon Phelps, the ladies' man, come from?
Leon Phelps came from my fascination and absurd craziness with making crank phone calls. I would call like NPR stations or any kind of radio station or television station that had a phone-in segment. And Leon, the character before he was Leon, was a lot dirtier and angrier. Okay. Than the Leon that, you know, America came to know. So,
and people, the host would just have to think, I guess this is a real person.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I would start him off, I would lure the host in with the voice, but I would also talk about something that was, you know, intelligent. I would have a viewpoint. So I'd go, you know, Elith, and I was wondering about the war in Iraq. Like, when did that going to end? And how much economically is this affecting our country? And so the person on the other line, they would have to answer the question. Because it's a good question, even though it sounds like it's coming from a cartoon character.
They didn't know they were in a sketch.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
You know, since Leon is a radio guy, we thought we'd try him out in public radio a little bit, just to get a feel for what it would sound like if instead of the late night call-in shows that he would host in the sketches or in the movie...
Yeah.
What he would sound like as a public radio host. So we've prepared some scripts for Leon here. I'm wondering if you can give it a try.
All right, this is Marketplace.
Marketplace.
Yeah, from the Frank Stanton Studios in Los Angeles, this is Marketplace. I'm Leon Phelps in for Kai Rithdow. President Obama ventured down the slippery slope of oil subsidies today. He asked the Senate to get rid of them. The Senate, of course, they ignored him. They rejected a bill that would have repealed billions of dollars in tax breaks for big oil.
All right. Well, let's move him to a different kind of show here.
All right.
A very different format of show. Let's have him fill in for Terry Gross on Fresh Air.
Yeah. From WHYY in Philadelphia, it's Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. No, I'm kidding. It's Leon Phelps. The Supreme Court heard arguments this week on President Obama's health care reform plans. Many parts of the plan were closely examined, but it was the so-called individual mandate component that has attracted the most scrutiny. Today, we talk with two constitutional law experts to examine how the court has traditionally approached issues similar to the ones being debated this week, and later, a review of new bluegrass albums.
All right. I think he's got a lot of potential there. Yeah. You know, any on-air person often, you know, they got to prove their chops by doing a newscast. Let's try on a traditional NPR newscast here.
Yeah, from NPR News in Washington, I am Leon Phelps. There's war all over the place and everyone's acting all crazy. that is all.
It sums it up.
Yeah.
We got one more. We got one more I want to try. This one comes from St. Paul, Minnesota, and this is one of my favorite shows from a colleague of mine, Lynn Rosetto Casper. Let's try The Splendid Table.
Yeah, this is The Splendid Table, the show about life's appetite. Hi, I'm Leon Phelps, the ladies' man. You know, I was supposed to talk about cooking food, but the only appetite I really have is for love. I'd like to get a big pot of love, and this is how you make it. One part water, two parts love, three parts onion, a little paprika, stir it up, and then you make a nice pie. And that's called a love pie.
Leon Phelps, public radio host, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
We'll bring Tim back to the conversation now. Tim, are you in there?
I'm here. I'm back.
You went back to improv not long ago. What prompted that return to improv?
The love of money. No, I'm kidding.
That's why everybody does improv.
Yeah, you pay so much doing improv. No, I went through a sort of a phase of like trying to figure out how am I going to develop comedy, you know, and just developing as an actor, and also was like wanted to go back and sort of like sort of remember why I got to where I am, you know. I mean, wherever I am, I'm here in St. Paul. So how did I get here? So I started going back and just doing improv, and it was part therapy and part just trying to reconnect with friends and stuff too.
Why'd you need the therapy?
All right, cue music. I went through a divorce, yeah. And it was rough, and I started to withdraw from people and friends and people that cared about me. And then one Christmas, a friend of mine that was an actor at Second City invited me to a Christmas party and said, you know, people miss you, and you should get back out, you know, and it really touched me. I was like, yeah, I should, you know. And so one of the ways that I just thought, well, I could really connect with a bunch of friends was by doing improv. And yeah. So it really did. It helped me. I felt better about myself. I felt more confident. And it was just good to get out of my apartment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what could be more social than being, you know, completely present with another person trying to think of what happens next?
Yes, and that person not being your ex-wife.
Yeah. You know, right? Now, if you'll excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, I do have a little bit of housekeeping to do here, kind of pay the bills, if you know what I'm saying. Support for Wits is provided by the Passive Aggressive Charity Foundation of Minnesota. Drawing on our region's proud history of passive-aggressive behavior, the foundation seeks to support all worthy causes. But you don't have to donate if you don't want to. I'm sure that money is better off with you and you're putting it to good use. I mean, it's odd that you don't choose to donate. I'm not saying it's wrong, it's just confusing. For more information, look for us online if you can ever manage to get around to it, what with your busy schedule and all. Can Leon say, this is Wits, and we'll be back in a moment?
Yeah, this is Wits. We'll be right back.
This is Wits. I'm John Moe.
Mr. Rhett Miller of Texas is with us.
Rhett, I gotta ask you, romance gone bad comes up a lot in your music. Love not working out. Why?
That's a very good question.
Thank you.
Because I think it's more interesting to sing about that than, you know, Bosnia. Honestly, I don't know, because I've been pretty lucky in my life with love. But the few times that it hasn't worked out, I just can't get over that.
Are you a good boyfriend, a good husband? Like, are you working through the guilt here?
It's funny. He got deep with you, too, didn't he, Tim?
Yeah, way, way too deep.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I mean, you know, I come from a broken home. You experience certain agonies as a human being, the human condition, as it were.
All right.
You know, I enjoy life, but the things that make me crazy and sad, I turn those into songs, typically.
But yet, you also perform with comedians. What are you doing taking up with comedians, Rhett Miller? Are you getting to the yang of the yin of the sorrow?
It's funny you should point that out, because it's like, I have a pretty happy demeanor, generally. And on stage, you're right, I sing a lot about love gone wrong, where comedians will walk out on stage and it's all smiles and laughs, and behind the scenes, it is sad clown city. I wasn't looking at you, Tim.
Tim Meadows is pointing to himself right now.
We were talking backstage, and it was all sad. He was trying to pump me up.
Well, let's let you pick up that guitar and play us some music, won't you?
All right. 1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 3. You look like my mother did when she was 19, and not afraid to die. I started planning our future, but she was just 19, still a firefly.
You got terrible vision. You should have seen I was leaving. When I first appeared, I got bit by the footlights. I got caught in the headlights of any place but here. Never say.
And then it's gonna get rough.
Never say you'll never leave, 'cause you never know till you try. In a jar, fireflies only last for one night. Only last for one. Must have been me.
must have been me. You look like my mother did when she was 19, and not afraid to die.
For the last time, I'm not your mother. Was only 19. Still a firefly.
Thank you. Thank you very much, y'all. Accompanying me on that duet was the great Janie Winterbauer right there. Janie, like a bird. I must say, John Moe, it is an honor to be playing with this band. Oh. John Munson.
John Munson and the Witnesses, ladies and gentlemen.
And Steve and Joe, these guys are very great.
I think just about any song is improved by vibes and pedal steel. This is Wits, I'm John Moe. I think we can all agree that the important thing about comedy, music, and any art really is that it's a competition. There are winners and losers. There are points and prizes and quantifications and judgments. With that in mind, we will now play a game called Funnier or Poignanter. Tim Meadows is a professional in making things funny. Rhett Miller, you write songs that make life's experiences more poignant. So in this game, I will give Tim and Rhett situations, and they need to make them funnier or poignanter, respectively. After each round, I will declare the winner of the round. You guys ready?
Yes.
All right.
No.
I'm funny.
For the first round, Tim, you will go first.
Okay.
Tim, a man goes to the hardware store for some nails, but the store has already closed.
Knock, knock. No, this is not a knock, knock joke, people. I'm sorry. What I meant was boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Hey, somebody open up, please. Hurricane Katrina just happened, and all I need is 4 more nails to complete my home. End of scene.
Wow. That's some bold comedy.
Thank you.
Rhett Miller, over to you for the poignanter.
He already went poignant. Okay, here we go. Well, I used to be a man. Now I'm a man who can't get no nails. I'm a failure of a man. I'm a man who fails. Thank you.
That was good.
Point to Rhett Miller on that one. Point to Rhett Miller. Rhett, you'll start this next one. 3 dogs are sitting on a porch. 1 gets up and walks away.
One of you dogs farted. What? You were poignant on the last round.
I was going to do that. Now I guess I have to do poignant?
Yeah.
You know, his assignment was poignant, so your challenge is still funny.
Oh.
Do we need to review the rules?
I can't top that one, though. That was really good.
That was pretty good.
All right, 3 dogs on the porch. 1 gets up and walks away. All right. And here's the scene. It's just 2 dogs talking. Where's he going? Oh, he just got a job posing for a painting of dogs playing poker. 3 dogs, 1 walks away. Where's he going? Oh, he's going. I'm explaining it over again.
Yeah. Well, that always makes it funnier if you explain it.
Yeah.
Point to Meadows.
Yeah.
Tim, you start this next one. A couple is on a romantic date. They're on a rowboat in the middle of a lake. What does the fish say to them when it jumps out of the water and lands in the boat?
And I'm not going to do that one. Second choice. Okay, here it is. The fish jumps out of the boat and lands in the lady's lap. And the fish says, I'm a magical fish. You can have 3 wishes, but you have to rub my belly. And then the man takes out a knife and guts the fish's belly. And the fish said, I said rub, not gut. Oh. I'm trying here, people. I didn't hear these premises before the show.
We're learning a lot about funniness and poignancy, actually. Rhett Miller, over to you.
How beautiful is this moment when I'm floating above the water, looking at this couple who's in love. How long will it last? How long will it last?
It was beautiful, but I can't see why the fish would be making these observations instead of speaking to the couple, so Meadows gets the point.
Oh, my goodness.
It's deep.
Come on now. Okay.
I'm suddenly the Simon Cowell of invented public radio game shows. All right, Rhett, you start this one. David Bowie is making himself some breakfast and hits his head on a cupboard.
Now, once again, that was not poignant. You got to learn the rules of the game. If I had a guitar, I could be up here doing poignant. Give me a guitar. Let me do poignant.
All right.
David Bowie's dead. He hit his head on the cupboard in his kitchen. David's dead, yeah, he's dead.
Thank you.
All right.
Wow.
Wow.
Maybe I lean on the audience for this one. First, Miller. Meadows.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I concede that one, my friend.
Yeah.
Who knew? You're like a Renaissance man.
Yeah. I'm going to play drums on the next one. So.
Well, I got to say, by a score of 3-1 in the game of Funnier Poignanter, congratulations. Tim Meadows is our champion.
Wow. Really, I don't deserve it.
Well, no, you don't. But yet, here we are.
All right.
If you're wondering what you're listening to, oh, I'll tell you. Wits, it's a show. I'm John Moe, and I'm the host.
Let's play some more music.
Richard Wagner's letters to his lover Matilda were a mess. He should have quit before he had written the address. Yeah, they made love on the mezzanine. Her husband was his friend. Vienna and a fugue stayed working on a thing. Then when he finished, it took almost 7 hours to sing. Oh, well, he still found time to write to her, his heart exploding words. Our love surpassed our love so fast. Our love's all wrong. Our love goes on and on. Our love became our love by name. When I wrote it to you in a song. Our love goes on and on. Our love, our love. Kafka in his letters to his lover Milena was alive, but he was waiting for a love never would arrive. Yeah, their rendezvous was singular. Her husband was his friend. She's a living fire, she's a reason to live. Killing me you in a song. Our love goes on and on. Our love, our love, our love, our love. Our love surpassed. Our love so fast. Our love's our love. Our love goes on and on. Our love became our love by name. When I wrote it to you in a song, our love goes on and on. Our love.
John Munson and the Witnesses. You know what? I think it's great that you listen to the radio. I'm thankful you complete me. But in case you want to get out a little bit, here are some ideas of things going on around the country. What's the name of the day that comes after Friday? Well, if you're in Valley Park, Missouri this weekend, it's Batter Day. No, not as in pancakes, as in bats. Flying rodents. Organizers say it's a chance to learn about these misunderstood creatures, how they help the ecosystem, and how you can help them. The organizers add that this is in no way an attempt by vampires to lure you to a remote location where no one will ever find you. Mwahahaha. Op, Alabama is the home of the 52nd annual Rattlesnake Rodeo, with music including Travis Tritt, food vendors, potentially lethal venomous bites, and arts and crafts. You'd think that the hardest part of a rattlesnake rodeo would be fitting the rattlesnakes with tiny saddles that won't slip off, but no, the hardest part is finding enough mice to work as rodeo clowns. And finally, Reed Gold Mine in Midland, North Carolina, is the site of the first documented discovery of gold in the United States, and it's holding its spring festival this weekend for $2. You can pan for gold yourself and try to ignore the fact that if there actually was any gold left, they wouldn't be letting you pan for it. Kids are invited to the spring festival too, although they will forever remember it as the time Mom and Dad took us down to a mine so we could get disappointed. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we take a break. We have worked so hard already. We will be back in a moment, rested, ready to resume our tasks. This is Wits. This is Wits. I'm John Moe. Joseph Scrimshaw is up in the Statler and Waldorf box. Joseph, what's going on? How are we doing so far in the show?
I think the show is going really, really well.
Good.
I think it's hard to fail at this show because, you know, what's going on stage is quite compelling. And then you also have an audience that's tipsy and you've encouraged them to play with their smartphones.
Yeah.
So if you can find a way to be bored at Wits, I think it's kind of your problem.
It's almost admirable in a way.
It is admirable, yeah. If there's anyone who's having just a horrible time, congratulations. Well done. I'd also really particularly like to compliment the phrase Sad Clown City. I really think that this would be a great Cirque du Soleil show.
good.
Yeah, it would just be clowns miming their divorces and breakups. It'd be no gymnastics whatsoever.
Maybe they'd go on a trapeze and then just sort of fall off.
They would just swing back and forth listlessly.
Dangle,
waiting for the tear to drop from their cheek. But I am actually, I'm supposed to be negative, so I have to find some negative
critical,
things.
Critical, at least.
Yes. I'm sorry to do this. I disliked how exciting and upbeat Rhett Miller's music was.
As a native Minnesotan, was it upsetting to you?
What happened was I wanted to get up and express my joy with my body.
Oh.
And it was really, really effing upsetting.
That's hard.
John, I'm sorry, I have to take a little bit of an issue about the way you talk to us.
Oh, okay.
Because as an audience, I think we're all, pretty intelligent and sophisticated. And I feel like you really pander. You sort of talk up to us.
Okay.
Like, we need to match, how incredibly intelligent you are, I don't know about that. All those, those writers that you mentioned in your opening monologue, it was just like a Wikipedia nightmare. Like, oh, I have to look that one up. It was a pain.
Yeah, point taken.
But I did also want to quickly share some tweets, because the audience has had some wonderful tweets, almost all of them very positive. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but one person said, Wits is better than Justin Bieber. Another person said, F you, deadline, I'm going to Wits.
Okay.
I think you should consider that for promotional posters.
Yeah.
This would also look great on a poster. Can't wait to see me some John Moe in a dress shirt.
Well, to that person, I hope that you saw you some.
There's some syntax issues.
Thank you.
Thanks for talking up to me. And this was one of my favorites. It said, Tina Louise, good time, discount shoes, go now Walmart, #Wits.
It's funny because it's true.
It is. It's true. It's rare when the spam bots are so accurate.
Yeah.
In the final tweet that I would like to share, I think really encapsulates everything that's happening here tonight. It said, @Wits, #Wits, !!!
Four of them. All right. Well, I'm trying to summarize that non-verbally without saying exclamation point to kind of echo that back.
It's like, ooh.
It's like
a feeling.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, just, because we might be getting a little woogity from all the, the cocktails, maybe we should all try to make the exclamation point sound.
Make the intellectual poop sound that Tim Meadows
Four of them. Yeah. All right. One, two, three, everybody.
Wits.
Wits. Joseph Scrimshaw, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
This is Wits, I'm John Rowe. Pop song correspondences. Notes on Sweet Child O' Mine as delivered to Axl Rose by his editor. Hi, Axl. I've been going over your manuscript and demo for the song Sweet Child O' Mine. I think we need to talk. As your editor, I'm responsible for making your songs as cogent as possible, for helping them reach the high editorial standards your public has come to expect. With this one, I'm certainly earning my keep. After several attempts to reach you by phone, I'm sending along my notes by fax. Please, make fixes. Redundant. You either have a memory or you're reminded of something. You're not reminded of a memory.
Where everything was as fresh as the bright blue sky.
Yeah, I asked around the office and no one is sure a sky that is blue is necessarily fresh. You could have a blue sky at the end of a long, sweaty day and there would be nothing fresh about it. And she reminds you of a time when things were fresh? Fond recollections of freshness are no foundation for love. Fix.
Now and then when I see her face, it takes me away to that special place.
Okay, you weaken your own argument. Why does the sight of her face transport you to the special place only now and then? And is it just her smile or her entire face that does this to you? Because you've already said both. Consistency, Axel.
And if I stare too long, I'd probably break down and cry.
Why would you do that? Because you missed the freshness you described earlier? I think the whole fresh thing is really tripping you up. Also, crying, wimpy. Okay, on to the second verse.
Her hair reminds me of a warm, safe place where as a child I'd hide.
Delete, fix, do something. You'd hide in a place that reminded you of hair? Never show me such phrases again.
And prayed for the thunder and the rain to quietly pass me by.
Okay, listen to me now. Thunder can't quietly do anything. It's thunder. And more importantly, do you really want to come across as someone who's constantly on the verge of weeping and skittering into hair caves? You need to work these things out. Finally, Axel, I think we might have had a misunderstanding regarding my notes. When I wrote in colored pencil,
where do we go? Where do we go now? Where do we go?
I wasn't offering that as a lyric. I was observing that in narrative terms, the song needed to progress in some way. You love the girl. She's helping you work through some issues about hair or freshness, whatever. So where do we go now? But instead of giving an answer, you just took my note and repeated it over and over again. Don't ask us, the listeners, where we go. That's up to you as the writer. Tell us where we go now. Again, let's try to fix these things soon and get Sweet Child of Mine, or maybe we call it My Sweet Child, because shorter, into your hands of the fans as quickly as possible. Because frankly, if it should ever hit the street in its current form, the song would be a colossal failure. Talk soon, your editor, Saul Hudson. Just a couple more funding announcements here to take care of. Support for Wits comes from the stage of the Fitzgerald Theater, without which we'd fall into the basement. Support also provided by mosquitoes, who would like to remind you that summer's coming and we will get you. Try to stop us. Just try. It's no use. We will drink your blood. Enjoy your spring. Rhett Miller.
I hear a ticking, but I don't know why. I call the police, but they don't like me. I hear them whispering when I walk by. Whoa, whoa. I got a landmine in my bloodline. I'm not immune to getting blown apart.
She's like a claymore, that's what she's there for. She's waiting around here to get blown apart. Oh, having her on my brains, I get hit by a train. She's gonna kill me. Oh, Celeste. Oh, Celeste. Oh, Celeste. Oh, Celeste. Got a time bomb in my mind, Mom. It's gonna go off, but I don't know when. I need a doctor to extract her. I got a feeling she get right back in again. Oh, oh. I got a time bomb in my mind, Mom. I got it bad for a stick leg girl. She's gonna kill me, and I don't mean softly. I got a cabin for a stick leg girl. Oh, oh, oh. Having her on my brains like getting hit by a train. She's gonna kill me. Oh, Celeste. Oh, oh, Celeste. Oh, oh, Celeste. Oh, oh, Celeste.
If you're wondering what you're listening to, oh, well, I'll tell you. Wits, it's a show. I'm John Moe, and I'm the host. And now the Wits Lightning Round. Brief questions, brief answers. It's like Charlie Rose for people with no ability to concentrate. A highly efficient way to interview Tim Meadows and Rhett Miller.
Are you going to let me win this one, please, John?
Well, this one is not a... We could make it a competition. I hadn't envisioned it would be a competition.
No, you're right. Everything is, but...
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Looking for the consistency. All right. Tim Meadows, who would win in a fight between a shark and a gorilla if they fought in a swamp?
I'm playing it out in my mind right now.
Sure.
The gorilla goes into a swamp. A shark is, like, dropped from a helicopter by mistake into the swamp. He's not supposed to be there. Gorilla's not supposed to be there either. They start going at it. Gorilla.
Okay. Rhett Miller. Rhett Miller, what would your DJ name be and why?
Oh, man. I got nothing on this. All I can think of is a ladies' man. You got me tonight. It was so beautiful hearing you do ladies' man in person. I got to say that.
Thank you, man.
I'm not stalling for time when I say that either.
I will do the voicemail at your house. Don't worry.
No. We made something special happen today, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm going to say my DJ name is DJ Folky Folk because it sounds so dirty and yet it's so clean.
That's nice.
Rhett Miller, would it be possible to sing sensitive Rhett Miller style songs while dressed in leather spandex and big hair? And are you willing to try this?
I have tried this.
Really?
But it's not possible.
Rhett Miller and Tim Meadows, I'm calling that one a draw. That's the lightning round. Thank you both very much.
All right, thank you.
Rhett Miller, you're going to favor us with another song.
Yes, I am. All right, witnesses. The bottom line's been snorted. The bottom card's been dealt. No one knows like you know right now how truly bad it felt. All your life you wasted.
bees kill off their queen and carry all her eggs away. Oh, but if you die fearing God and painfully employed, no, you will not go to heaven. You'll go to Champaign, Illinois. Up north in Chicago, where booze makes no one blush, memories come back to you in a double bourbon rush. The memories aren't all bad, neither my friend nor you. There is an argument, there must be some heaven meant for hearts that are half true. Oh, but if you spend your whole life rolling horses into Troy, you will not go to heaven, you'll go to Champaign, Illinois. No, you will not go to heaven, you'll go to Champaign, Illinois. All right, Joe Savage. Circles towards the sun, Springfield's in the distance, and that's the last big one. After that comes judgment. Oh, and judgment will be swift. You will be eliminated, but here's a parting gift. Oh, if you die fearing God and painfully employed, no, you will not go to heaven, you'll go to Champaign, Illinois. No, you will not go to heaven, you'll go to Champaign, Illinois. No, you will not go to heaven, you'll go to Champaign, Illinois.
Brett Miller, along with John Munson and the Witnesses.
The senior producer of Wits is Larissa Anderson. Our broadcast engineer is Rob Byers. Thanks to Tom Campbell, Mike Wongan, and Dan Zimmerman, Wits is written by me with help from writer-performers Bill Corbett, Kevin Murphy, and Joseph Scrimshaw. Our music director is John Munson. The Witnesses who performed on this show are Steve Rome, Joe Savage, and Janie Winterbauer. Very special thanks to our music guest, Rhett Miller, and our comedy guest, Tim Meadows. Wits is developed by Tony Bowl and Peter Clowney and is a production of APM, American Public Media. You can find us online at witsradio.org, on Twitter, @wits. I'm John Moe. Bye now.